Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, welcome back, Scott.
It is a good day, isn't it, Mark?
It is. It is. It's
winter, and you have your heated vest.
I do. I've got a heated vest on.
I can't tell everyone my view here, but Mark is across the table from me with his headphones on, and there is on his vest, there is a word. It's just heat, and it's bright green.
Yeah.
And he's over there just steaming.
And bright green means it's on low. I can turn it to red or yellow or
you
green.
You can slow cook, medium cook, or boil. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, it's Christmas was good to Mark, it looks like.
It was.
I'll try not to be distracted.
So far, so good.
That's right. It's really working so far. I'm trying not to be too cold either, since I don't have one of those fancy schmancy heated vests. All right. What were we doing here, Mark?
Let's talk about marks of a healthy church again. We did that last week. We went through a few of them. We talked about expositional preaching, which basically meant letting the text be the authority, and rather than topical preaching where the preacher might be the authority or his opinions.
Where God sets the agenda rather than the speaker, yes.
Yep. And then we talked about a biblical theology, which was something that was new to me, and we talked about understanding that the Bible tells one story of God's plan for the world, and that Jesus was the central figure of that story. And then an understanding of the gospel, a true understanding that we are saved by grace through faith, not of anything that we do, that we can't earn it, and that we were in a place where we could not restore the relationship between us and God, but God did that for us through the work of Jesus on the cross. So, and then finally, we talked about understanding conversion and that a person is actually born again through faith in Jesus. And that was also something that was not only new to me, but it was actually criticized where I came from.
Well, and that so we're talking about those as marks of the church. It's one thing to say that conversion is important or that the gospel is central, but the fact that the gospel is central in the life of the church, that conversion is something the church expects to be something that all of the people experience, those are marks of a church because collectively that's part of the expectation of the entire group.
Yeah, yeah. So we want people thinking about these things. Are these present at the church that you're attending?
That's
really the question, right?
It is, yes. Yeah. And that's kind of why I wanted to add that, because it's one thing to just have some ideas about these things. We're not talking about these are helpful ideas. We're talking about these are part of what distinguishes a church from something not a church.
Yeah.
And so many churches, I think, devolve into social clubs or into organizations of some kind, maybe moral or social or even religious organizations. But, religious organizations aren't concerned about the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, or conversion, or, the story God tells. So these things kind of keep it distinctively a church. And so those are, it's kind of why we talked about those. And really, these next ones do too.
Yeah.
But that's why these are marks of a church and not just, good thoughts to think as a Christian,
Yeah, and as far as why are we talking about this, just as you were talking there, when you mentioned social club, I remember the first time I heard someone say that when I was still at Followers, say that this has become no more than a social club or a country club or something. That, and I remember being so offended by that statement.
Most people are.
Yeah.
That's an offensive statement, yeah.
But then I realized that it was true. And because, like, we've talked about these four marks of a healthy church, we were 0-for-4 on these first ones. Like, we, in my lifetime, we didn't have any of these. Like, there was no preaching at all.
Okay.
Then the...
Or theology.
The biblical theology, we're told, stay out of the Old Testament.
Or gospel, yeah.
Gospel, no, you've got to earn it through suffering and work, and conversion was not talked about. It was talked about in a mocking kind of way. Okay. So it became clear to me that this guy was right. I mean, I came to this conclusion years later, but he was right when he said that mm-hmm. we had devolved to nothing more than a social club. So,
and that's a warning for every church,
really,
because it is easy for it to go that direction.
Yeah.
And that's why we're talking about this.
Yeah. So another sign, the next thing here, sticking with the theme of the gospel and conversion, these give you really good news that you should go share with people, that other people need to hear. And so evangelism is the next one to talk about.
The mark of a church mm-hmm. is evangelism.
Yeah.
That the church is concerned for those outside of its walls, that they too hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that they too are converted, and then that they too would, you know, align themselves with church.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, and that makes it evangelistic. Evangelism is just the good news. It's another, you know, it's a transliteration of the Greek word for gospel.
Okay.
And so it's just you good news somebody if you evangelize them.
Okay.
And basically, you're sharing the good news that God has done all necessary to reconcile someone back to himself. And so, you know, why is this the mark of the church? I mean, so I don't know how to just say how simple and straightforward it is. Jesus, first of all, if you're a church that follows Jesus, you would say, we maybe should do what Jesus did. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. And Jesus in John 10:16 said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold.
Yeah.
I must bring them also, and they'll listen to my voice. Jesus himself is on a mission to bring people who are outside the fold into the fold, which is, you know, using sheep metaphor, it's basically, I'm going to go get them. That's what evangelism is. It's going to get your friends and your neighbors and your family members. For some, it may be, you know, traveling to the somewhere else in the world to do it, but for most people, it's right next door or at work or somewhere like that.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think the most, if you're not going to do what Jesus did, do what Jesus said to do, and that was at least maybe. And he said to go. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So while we know that Jesus is the one responsible for the success of this, our commission is still to go and tell people this good news and make disciples.
Well, it's certainly not staying.
Right.
And it's certainly not, you know, circling the wagons, and it's certainly not huddling up and declaring the other people the enemy.
Right.
It is, you know, when you go, mm-hmm. make people and disciples of Jesus. That's evangelism.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
And so you're right. Whether you say do what he did or do what he said, I mean, he said the same thing multiple times, but in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I send you.
Yeah.
And so he's inviting us really just to follow in his footsteps, really, of what he said and did. And as the Father sent him, so he's sending us. And so the church needs to take that seriously.
Yeah.
And we're not a club that exists for people on the inside of the club.
Right.
And that's just, we just have to recognize that and prioritize it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, this is one of the things, and I'll just say this for, you know, not just the one right church. You have to, you do have to get this right to be the Church of Jesus Christ. There are churches that give lip service to it, but this falls off. This is the first thing that falls off because we all begin to think of our own interests. And, you know, instead of doing what it says in Philippians, to look out for the interests of others and consider them more important than yourselves, we're all thinking about ourselves. And I really care more that I like the music, or I really care more that the temperature's right, or that they have programs for my family, and blah, blah, blah. And we begin to think about ourselves rather than thinking about the people who are lost without Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just, when I think about the challenges of evangelism just in my past, I realized I had no good news to bring to anybody. I had nothing to go tell, because people would ask, friends would ask, why aren't we, if we think we're the only ones with a chance to go to heaven, why aren't we telling other people how to do this? Like, and we had nothing to tell them. We have no one with the authority to baptize them, but the truth is, I didn't know the gospel. I didn't have good news to go tell them. I could have gave them a formula or an alternate route that wouldn't have worked, but I didn't evangelize because I didn't have the good news to share, is really the conclusion I came to.
And that's why they're both marks of a church, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have both.
Yeah. Yeah, I read a story the other day about, it just reminded me of somebody who did not believe. And he was, I don't know if he was on trial or there was some kind of a public thing. And he just said, if I believe what you believe, to folks in the church, that people are destined to go to hell apart from conscious faith in Christ. He said, I would crawl across England on broken glass to tell them. Mm. In other words, he understood the seriousness of the situation.
Yeah.
And that's part of what we are saying when we say you must be converted and you must believe the gospel.
Yeah.
We're also saying that to love people is to share the good news with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what this mark of the church is about.
Mm, yeah, that's great. Well, the next one we have on here are the ordinances or sacraments, which, again, are both words that I would have had no idea what they meant. But so what are we talking about with the ordinances or sacraments?
Well, generally, we're talking, well, those two words mean different things.
Okay.
It's something that, an ordinance is something that Christ ordained for the church.
Okay.
Hence the word ordinance. Sacraments means it's a means of grace. Some churches believe it's a means of grace, and I don't really care whether you use one word or the other. At least at this point, for this topic, I don't.
Right.
and generally, there are two that are most commonly agreed upon. There are some that are outside that people. Outside a set of two, I guess.
Sure.
That people would add or other denominations or other things would add, but there are here two that I would say are kind of important for every church, let's say it that way.
Yeah.
And then your denomination or something may have additional ones.
Sure.
The first one is communion, which the Lord instituted as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It's a reminder of the Lord's Supper and his last night on earth, and he wanted to be remembered. He wanted to be remembered in this way, and he asked us to do it. And so that is something the church has from the beginning understood to be part of their practice, is we will remember the Lord this way.
Yeah.
And again, practices vary, and way and how often you do it varies, and all the different things, but the idea that the Lord's Supper is part of the life of the church is one of the marks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we would have called it the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper and communion are the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we would have done that. I never took part in that for my whole life at Followers. I heard stories about it because it was another thing that once leadership was gone, there was no one there with the authority they believed to administer it or to oversee it or make sure it's being done in order. And so it was nothing that I ever got to experience until coming to faith in Jesus. And actually, I think the first time I did it might have been here at New Life Church.
I think I remember it was. Yeah. I think I remember you were a little wide-eyed.
A little bit.
It's no great shakes, but it's just, again, yeah. You recognized that it mm-hmm. was important.
Yeah.
Somehow you did.
Yeah.
And it's important because Jesus left that for the church to remind us, and it caused us to look forward. He said, that he'll, that he would not drink of mm-hmm. the fruit of the vine until he drank again in the kingdom with right. us. And so it's a reminder that there's a future for the church as well. So
yeah.
Anyway, the communion is one of the ordinances that's generally mm-hmm. agreed upon.
Yeah.
And baptism is the other.
Yeah.
And baptism, again, for the purpose of our discussion here today, I don't
yeah.
really care how your church baptizes or I would in other contexts, but in this sure. one, it's simply a mark of the church. And so the church holds out that Jesus said that's the first step in making disciples. As you go, make disciples, baptizing.
Yeah.
And so he expects that there will be this sort of marker in the life of a believer that they belong to Jesus, that they identify with Jesus, and that is baptism.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, my experience, so those are tied together in a strange way in my head, because the reason that I didn't take communion the first time I came to New Life Church was because that I didn't think that I could until I had been baptized.
Well, and those are tied together in yeah. some respect in a real way.
Yeah.
Both are for believers, both are for people who are following Christ, been converted, all the things.
Right.
And so it's, again, various churches would order those in certain ways. You couldn't take communion until you're baptized.
Right.
And that's not, again, that's not necessarily wrong. It's not necessarily right either.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's certainly within the bounds of a church to define who can sure. be baptized and who can take communion. But the reality is,
right,
it's part of the life of the church. That's what right. we're saying here.
Yeah, I think what was all messed up in my head was that I had come to faith in Jesus. Communion was for me mm-hmm. at this point, but I hadn't gotten baptized yet because there wasn't opportunity at Followers because of their belief about baptism. So it was just something that I needed to understand better. And I remember you coming and talking to me after that. I think that might have been the first time we met, actually. And I think I even said something. I didn't take part in communion because I'm not baptized yet. And I think you said, well, I'd love to talk to you more about that.
let's solve that problem.
Yeah, let's solve that. But
and really, it's such a central part of the church. I mean,
yeah.
Acts chapter 2, when the church was born, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, that Peter said, repent, be baptized.
Yeah.
And that is like the inaugurating event for the church. And so it just goes with being part of a church.
Right. And I think something you said earlier, I just want to press in on a little bit. When you said I'm not concerned in this context about how a church baptizes, but it is important that we talk that a church does baptize.
Yes.
Like that is, there's not really room for discussion in my mind about whether a church has an option to say baptism has ended and we're not going to continue baptism. That's what happened where I was the leader at the time had a dream and claimed that he was told by Jesus himself that baptism would end in 3 years and that the end of time would come in 6 years. And that was, I think, somewhere around 1968 or something like mm-hmm. that. And so there's no that kind of thing, a decision like that 60 years ago now, can lead to all kinds of things getting messed up in my mind and other people's minds and how to do these things and when to do them. And so baptism, while you can have some differences of opinion on the mode of baptism or how to do it, there's no place in a healthy church to remove baptism.
Right. And yeah. I just think even of that comment mm-hmm. that if heard from Jesus himself, it would end.
Right.
Well, I have heard from Jesus himself mm-hmm. that it will continue even to the end of the age,
exactly.
It says in the Great Commission. So
exactly.
Again, that goes back to some of the things we've talked about here before as far mm-hmm. as what constitutes authority.
Right.
Is, you know, is it my own personal experience or is it the Word of God? And the Word of God says that we'll baptize, make disciples until the end of the age. So,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I just wanted to clarify. I knew what you were saying. I just wanted to make sure.
I'm glad that, you punctuated
it. We all did. Right. But the next thing that we have is actually church membership. And so let's talk a little bit about what it means to be an actual member of a church. I have my own experience from the past, but what does it look like in a healthy church?
Well, I think, so let's establish the criteria. Mm-hmm. I think the criteria is that the New Testament understands every Christian to belong to a local church.
Mm-hmm.
There is no freelance Christianity
right.
in the New Testament. Now, granted, things are a lot different. I mean, you're surrounded by the cult of the emperor. You have all kinds of other gods, and you have come to faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
And the only way you'd do that would be through local church. You wouldn't hear a radio broadcast. You wouldn't hear
right.
sermons on the internet. You
right.
wouldn't do any of those things. The only way you'd hear it is if somebody who had already become a believer and was part of a local church actually shared that with you and brought you in,
yeah.
then you would, and did evangelism, which
evangelism,
was
yeah.
one of the things, then you would, the only way that there would be part of that would, or that would be part of your life would be if you were part of the church.
Right.
And so the 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about that we're all members of one body. He just uses the word member, not in the way of member of a club or member
right.
of a organization, but member of a body like your thumb or your knees or something, you know, and we all belong.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing there. I think it's incumbent on the leadership of the church to establish, like, this is how we understand membership.
Yeah.
And we can tell that you belong and are in versus you may or may not be in.
Right.
Now, some churches don't have a formal membership list.
Right.
Though I don't know how you would do it without that.
Yeah.
But, so I'm not going to claim that every church that doesn't have membership is not a biblical church. Though I think they're right on the edge because it just would be very hard to not have membership, seems
yeah.
to me. But you care about who's in and who's out, and you can define who's in and who's out, and you essentially care for those who are in a way that is clear. You're in. You belong to us. We
right.
belong to you.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the essence of it, and I would love to see that be formal. It's formal at our church.
Yeah.
But you have to care about that.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not just come and go as you please, be part of the crowd, come listen to the sermon on the big screen.
Right.
It's here is how you belong at this church.
Yeah. It seems like it's just more relational that way. And there's responsibility and there's it's a covenant relationship.
There's a covenant
that we
commitment.
Have.
Yeah.
It's a commitment from both sides, really.
And I would say it's, you know, relational isn't exactly the word, though. It's a covenant relationship is right.
Yeah.
But that the whole idea of covenant or commitment is more central.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one of the I always liken it to this when I'm at a membership class, and I just say, you know, there are people who hang around a church and enjoy most of the benefits yeah. of the church without joining or becoming a member.
Right.
That's a lot like a couple who would live together, enjoy mm-hmm. most of the benefits of being married, but without the security and the commitment and the mutual understanding that comes when you commit to one another.
I see.
And yeah. so that would be one of the distinctions, is I think that mutual commitment to one another is the centerpiece here of this mark of a church. And
yeah.
so I would hope that would happen at a church that claims to be a true or biblical church.
Yeah. And I, as far as my experience where I was, it was never really clear. I mean, we were born into this church, so you're born a member of the church, and no one can come in. So it was clear to everyone who's in and who's out. It was wow. very clear until people started leaving. And then there started to be all these questions. I was handling one of the things that I did at Followers was I handled the organization of the cemetery and dealt with people when they were needing a burial plot and things like that. And it was, we had a private cemetery for us, and then it became really murky. It was clear if you were current on your dues, your funeral got paid for by the church, and it was expected that you would show up, that you would have attendance.
To your own funeral?
Well, I said that. I just said that in a confusing way. But that you would have regular attendance at church.
Oh, well, I see. Then oh, you, oh, okay. Then you,
that wasn't expected after your funeral, no. But
right. That's the exception.
But it got murky when then we'd start to have people that didn't have regular attendance, but they kept paying their $50 a month or whatever the dues were at the time. And then when people started leaving, I was getting all the questions from the leadership there. Well, are they still coming to church? Are they going to another church? They're paid up on their dues, but do they have to buy their plot now? The church would pay for it if they weren't going to another church. And it just got so murky.
And that was the question.
That was it.
Was about the funeral situation.
Yeah, that was it.
Interesting.
Yeah, everything else was, there really wasn't anything else. That was the deal. Like we talk about a covenant relationship that you have as a member of a church. This was what the deal was. If you're not caught up on your church dues, your funeral's not going to get paid for. If you don't have a certain amount of money put in to pay for the addition on the church, you can't have a church wedding. You know, you have to pay this certain amount before you can have the wedding. So everything was financial about it. And it just got really, you could tell there wasn't anything formal and they didn't know how to make any rules or decisions because there was nothing formal. So I can see the importance for sure, not just for that reason, but a lot of good reasons to have formal membership.
Well, one of the things I've noticed is that every one of these we talk about, and then you say, in my experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about the next one, you say, in my experience.
Yeah.
And there are, in all fairness, groups that claim to be the One Right Church
sure.
that are very evangelistic and
oh,
would
yeah.
even send out missionaries and are ultra scrupulous and have mm-hmm. rules upon rules about the ordinances and
yeah.
Have a membership role that is a pretty serious thing. So there are churches, in other words, like you said at the beginning, all of these marks kind of roll together.
Yeah.
But there are, again, I think, ways to misuse some of these things or
sure.
to have elements of these and still not necessarily be the One Right Church, maybe because you didn't have the ones in the previous episode.
Right.
Or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You need them collectively. Yeah.
Right.
That's good. Well, why don't we save the next few for another episode? And I've got a song here that we would sing. We didn't sing this one very often.
It's because you didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
I've never heard it. So this one,
I didn't like the melody of it, but I love the words in it. So,
okay.
Which works great because I'm not going to sing it anyway. So that's I'll
right.
just
for,
read
for
the
reading, one. This is a very good one, right? We'll say.
But it's called I Am Praying for You. So it kind of ties in with the evangelism that we were talking about. And it says, I have a Savior. He's pleading in glory. A dear loving Savior, though earth friends be few. And now he is watching in tenderness over me. And oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. For you I am praying. For you I am praying. For you I am praying. I am praying for you is the chorus. And then he says, I have a Father, to me he has given a hope for eternity, blessed and true. And soon he will call me to meet him in heaven. But oh, that he'd let me bring you with me too. I have a robe, 'tis resplendent in whiteness, awaiting in glory my wondering view. Oh, when I receive it, all shining in brightness. Dear friend, could I see you receiving one too? When he has found you, tell others the story, that my loving Savior is your Savior too. Then pray that your Savior will bring them to glory, and prayer will be answered. It was answered for you. So I didn't expect to get that emotional from that, but that's why we want to evangelize, right? We want to, and if you're singing that but not doing it, think about that. Like, you, maybe there's some news that you don't have that if you did, you'd want to go share it with people.
And we're praying for you,
yes,
listener, yeah. that would be the case for you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.